Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I know you can hear me without the microphone because I can't stand holding that thing when I'm preaching. So say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible,
I can defeat the devil.
For the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, I pray for those who are hearing your word today, Lord. Father God, that it will take root, that it will grow, and that it will bring forth fruit in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I rebuke the devourer who would attempt to steal the word. I command you to go, to leave this place in Jesus' name. And Father God, I thank you for anointing me, your manservant, that I would speak what you would have me to speak. I would say what you would have me to say. And I would speak not of myself, but from you. And Lord, I give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' precious name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Today, we're going to continue in our series. Last week we began talking, or 2 weeks ago we began talking about problems in our lives. We talked about the fact that there are certain things we should not do, or things that will not solve the problems of our lives. And we looked at a number of things, and we will not go over them again. So if you really would like to hear that message again, I would just encourage you to let me know, and I'll get you a copy of the CD or whatever have you, or a copy of the notes or whatever have you. Praise God. But today we're going to talk about the fact that God is our helper in our problems. Isn't that pretty cool? A little superhero guy. He represents God in an imperfect kind of way. All right. But God is our helper in all of our problems. Turn with me to Psalm 46. How many of you are going through problems right now? How many of y'all got problems? How many of you got problems? Baby, I got problems. I know exactly what you're going through. So if you got problems, then this message is for you. Say, I got problems.
I got problems.
So this message is for me. And not just for my neighbor. So I won't be looking at my neighbor. I won't be looking at me. All right, praise God. So you recognize that this message is for you because you got problems. I mean, you got issues, just like me. We all got issues. Now, if you ain't got problems, just live long enough and you will have some. All right? Praise God. I've lived long. I haven't gone a year yet without problems. I wish I could find it. I wish the Lord would have one of those 1 year breaks where you just never see a problem. All right. But then you get soft. Psalm 46. In the King James Version says, God is our refuge and strength. Oh, thank God. Thank God he's a refuge and strength. You know, many times I've had people come to me and ask me to pray for them. And I would ask them, what is it that you want from the Lord? And they would say, Lord, Pastor, I want to pray that the Lord would give me strength. And then I would think of some of these scriptures, such as the Bible, where the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I also thought about this one, that God is my refuge and my strength. He doesn't want to just give me strength. He wants to be my strength. Praise God. God wants to be at one with you. He wants you to be so in tune with him that he is not only just giving you strength as a byproduct, but that he is actually there with you, being your strength for you. Just, you see this guy right here? See, that's you lifting up the car, but it's actually Jesus lifting up the car and just using your hands. Praise God. That car and that backdrop represents your problems. Isn't that just a really stupid illustration, but it works. It helps you see something. See, your problems can weigh on you. They're heavy. There's no problems that can shake me, no burdens that can break me, because God becomes your strength. He becomes your refuge. Glory to God. So it says, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Say present help.
Present help.
Say present help.
Present help.
See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith recognizes God in the present. He is our present help. Say present help.
Present help.
He's not going to help. He is our help. He is our helper. He is helping us right now. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, but it says he is our very present help in trouble. Say trouble.
Trouble.
That word trouble is talking about trials, tribulations, problems. Matter of fact, I hope you don't mind if I give you just a little bit of Hebrew. You know, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew as the original language. But the word comes from the Hebrew word sarah, which means tightness. It means adversary, adversity, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, trouble. Does that sound good to y'all? No, don't sound good to me either. See, many times preachers tell us that problems are your friends. That trouble can be a friend. I just never could see that nowhere in scripture or in real life, because my problems seem to try to destroy me. A friend doesn't destroy me. Does it destroy you? No, not a true friend. The Bible says, when we translate this, that it trouble is an adversary. Say adversary.
Adversary.
It's an enemy. Man, when I go through problems, I'm not looking at the fact that this is my friend. You see, sometimes, and we've heard the saying that problems, trials can make you strong. That's not necessarily true either. Because many people have been destroyed because of trials. Look around. Look at the empty seats here. You know why many of these people are not here? Because of problems. Because of trials. Because they didn't know how to handle them. The trials that they have gone through did not make them strong. Now did it? Did it? Because if they were strong, they would be here. Let's be real about this. Trials do not make you strong. Trouble, problems do not make you strong. They are designed to kill you. Because they are your adversary. You know what makes you strong? God. He is your strength. Now, understand, as long as you live, while you are in this life, you will never ever escape problems. You will never ever escape trouble. You will have tribulation. You will have trials. You will have trouble. You will have adversity until the day you die. If you're saved, you go to heaven, you'll never see another problem again. But while you're living in this life, you will always have problems. But the problems are not designed to help you. They are designed to destroy you. James chapter 1, an often quoted verse, says that we are to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, when you're in the midst of the trial, you know, you begin to have faith that God is your ever-present help. And then you begin to rejoice in that. Most of us don't do that. When a trial comes, we have our temper tantrum. I can't believe this is happening again. Why? I thought I took care of that. That's what most of us do. God, why? Why? Why me? Why not you? It's happened to the rest of us. So, the thing is, most of us don't grow strong through the trials because we know in our own lives. See, it's great we can go to church and pretend like, oh, hallelujah, I've gone through tribulation and the tribulation made me. No, it didn't. What made you strong was Jesus, praise God. Amen. The person that carried you through the trial, the person that carried you through the adversity, the person that carried you through the problem, the person that gave you the strength was the Lord. Say, the Lord is.
The Lord is.
My refuge.
And my strength.
A very present help.
A very present help.
In trouble. He's your helper in trouble. So you got to learn to go to God for help. Praise God. God wants to help you. I want you to understand it, because if he didn't want to help you, he wouldn't say that he's a very present help in trouble. But he wants to help you. And see, now when we go to verse 2, this is your faith established. It says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling. Selah. See, in the midst of circumstances, if I can remember that God is my refuge, that God is my strength, that he's my very present help in trouble, then no matter what happens, no matter what the situation and the circumstances around me, my heart will be fixed. I will be trusting in the Lord. I will stand strong. Praise God.
Amen.
Many people don't know how to do that. That's why Satan is able to take them out. I know. He took me out a few times like that. I will never stand up here and pretend like I was the greatest, best Christian that ever was when I got saved. Man, I messed up just like many of you do. Trial come. First thing I did was, I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of it. When I was out in the world, I didn't have this many problems. Yes, I did. Just lying. Had even more problems, glory to God. At least when I got saved, God took care of those problems. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, he took care of a few of them even when I wasn't saved. You know, isn't that the mercy of God? Just takes care of you even when you ain't living right. Even when you ain't walking right. Well, see, the Bible tells us here in 46, verse 2 and 3, that no matter what happens, if I will recognize this truth, that God is my ever-present help or my very present help in time of trouble, then nothing should move me. See, God has a standard, and he expects us to come up a little bit higher, praise God. He wants us to come up higher than where we're at. See, he wants us to get away from, man, what if I'm going through this again? And Father, forgive me, I can't believe I had this temper tantrum again. He wants us to move away from that, praise God. He wants us to move to a faith that when the trials come, you sitting there saying, glory to God. Man, this is coming at me. I know God must have a blessing for me. All the devil's attacking me. He must be scared of something. Because he's coming after me this bad. He must be scared of something. God must be about to bless me. That's the attitude we must get, praise God.
Amen.
We need to let our hearts become fixed. We can't be moved by the circumstances. We can't be moved by the situations. We have got to learn to stand tough. And when the situations come, say, oh, glory to God. Bring your, you just do your best, devil, because the Bible says that my God is a very present help in a time of trouble. Praise God. Glory to God. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your helper. Praise God. He doesn't want to just be an occasional intervener. You only come to him whenever I have a real big problem. God wants to be there for you all the time. He's your daddy. Praise God. He wants to be there for you. Matter of fact, that is what the Holy Spirit is here for. He is here to be your helper. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Say, God is my helper. He's a very present help. See, faith sees things as now, not as next week. Faith grabs a hold of the truth of God, the promises of God, and it claims Him right now. Even when the circumstances don't seem to match up with what the promise says, even when I feel like in my physical being that God is not being my help, I am to stand on the Word of God, because God's truth is truer than my circumstances. Praise God.
Amen.
See, faith is not denying the circumstances. See, when you begin to deny what's going on, then you have moved from Christian faith into Christian science. Or those mind religions. You know, where they tell you, when you're sick, you're not really sick. Just continue to deny the sickness and it will leave you. That's what some of the Christian science groups teach. Faith does not teach that. The sickness is real, praise God. Your circumstances are real, praise God. That financial problem you're going through is real, praise God. That teacher that's harassing you in school is real. Denying this truth does not change the circumstances. But acknowledging that God's word is true, and that the truth of God's word can change my circumstances, will make the difference in how I react to my circumstances. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's it. Now, see, what you got to do, if you really want to build strong faith, we're going to be teaching a series on faith in the very near future. You need to know what faith is, how to get it, how to use it. But if you really want to build strong faith, the number one secret is to truly understand the character of God. You've got to understand God's character, God's attributes, God's nature. When you begin to understand the kind of God that you serve, the kind of God you call your Father, when you begin to know Him for real, to really and truly know about your God and know your God intimately, then your faith will be strengthened. Praise God. Now let me read this, John chapter 14, verse 26 from the Amplified Bible, so you can understand a little bit about the character of God as revealed in His Word. It says, "But the Comforter," that's talking about the Holy Spirit, "the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, He will teach you all things, and He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you." The Holy Spirit is our counselor, our helper, say helper,
helper.
Our advocate, our strengthener, and our standby. See, that word comforter in the King James Version, it comes from a Greek word called paraclete. You know, I didn't go to school to learn all this stuff, okay? I couldn't speak Greek to save my life or Hebrew. I just look up these, I have all these study helps at home that help me to look all this stuff up. All right. But it's, most scholars say that this word doesn't have a real adequate translation. They say it can be rendered comforter or helper or advocate or interpreter, but they say that no word really can be sufficient for it. But it's basically talking about one who is called to your side. It's somebody who walks with you. Stand up, Tommy. Tommy is just a regular Christian. I'm the Holy Spirit. Just walk somewhere, Tommy. I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm walking by Tommy's side. I'm there to help him. Elder Steve, come over here. Start causing Tommy some trouble. Thank you, Steve.
I was scared for a minute because Steve is bigger than I am.
I thought maybe he might want to demonstrate some more spiritual warfare and punch me or something. But anyway, the Holy Spirit walks beside you. He's with you all the time. You may not feel him. Sometimes we can feel him, sometimes we can't. But it's not based on feelings, it's based on faith. Praise God.
Amen.
His word says that the Comforter, Jesus himself said, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is, my Father will send my name, he will walk alongside of you.
Amen.
He will be there. He is there to assist you and to help you. Praise God.
Amen.
And somebody else said that this was just rich in meaning, this word paraclete. It refers to one called alongside to help. Ah, hallelujah. He is called alongside to assist, to bring comfort where it is needed. And another, I'm just giving you these definitions because it's just rich in meaning. He is called to identify with your interests. How many of you have interests? I got a lot of interests. He is like an attorney who is called to plead your case. How many of y'all know that God is the best attorney you could ever have? He's an advocate. He interprets and completely undertakes our cause. Whew. Now you got some help there. Say, I feel my help coming. It says that he is our personal agent who transacts all spiritual business for us. Man, oh man, oh man. Glory to God. Another translation of this word is, he is a God at hand. One by your side. One that you can call upon in every emergency. One that we can call upon to call to us. One ever within call. God is right there with you. He's not far away. Sometimes we say, man, my prayers seem to have just hit the ceiling and came right back down. But the Holy Spirit is right alongside you. You can call him in the event of an emergency. He's your advocate. He's your attorney. He is interested in what you're interested in. He's your companion. He's there with you all the time. Praise God. I tell you, I don't know about you, but that just encourages me. God for everything is another one. God at hand under all circumstances and equal to all demands. That's the Holy Spirit, the helper. Say helper.
Helper.
Say God is my helper.
God is my helper.
Praise God. So he is your helper. He's there with you. See, just like the illustration you saw, you know, we give imperfect illustrations today, but I want you to visualize this. I want you to understand right now, as I am walking back and forth, the Holy Spirit is with me. And the wonderful thing about God is he is what theologians call omnipresent. Say omnipresent. The word omni means everything, can do it all. And when we say omnipresent, that means the Holy Spirit, unlike you and me who are in a physical body, the Holy Spirit can be here at Victoria's Word, and he can be at the church down the street over there. Praise God.
Amen.
And he can be in Providence. And he can be with me at work and with you at the same time. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, it was amazing. Like yesterday, we were on the radio. I went to the radio with one of my pastor friends, Pastor Soares. And, you know, neither one of us talked to each other that morning. You know, she just called me to let me know that she was going to meet me at a certain place at 9:40. We was going to drive up to the radio station together. And she told me that the Holy Spirit woke her up at 4 o'clock and she already knew what we needed to do. She had the plan. She said, you're going to preach. I'm just going to read a scripture. I said, glory to God. I like that plan. I get to preach. But she read, she opened up the radio program, and she read the scripture. And she expounded a little bit on it. And I was just flabbergasted. I said, my goodness, she's saying everything that I'm about to say, and we never even talked to each other about it. And so when she got, after she was finished and her mother sung us a wonderful song, and it was my turn to bring forth the word of God, I was able to expound even more on what she had just intimated upon. And see, that's the thing. The Holy Spirit was speaking to both her and me at the same time. I live way out in Warwick. She lives somewhere out in Providence, miles away from each other. Yet the same Holy Spirit spoke to us at the same time. I was even more blessed last week. I had to speak at this convocation out there in a hotel in Massachusetts. And I spoke, you know, gave the word of God and everything. After I was finished, two pastors got up and said, "Man, you said the same thing that I said to my congregation this morning." And so, after they were finished, one of the members of their congregation said, "You know, I laughed when Pastor Troy got up there to speak because Pastor just said the same thing to us this morning." You understand what I'm trying to get across to you? The same Holy Spirit who spoke to me, who spoke through me, was there at these other churches that same morning. Praise God. Amen. All these churches were different, were miles away from each other, yet the same Holy Spirit spoke the same words in the same places. We may have all used different scriptures, we may have all had different styles, but it was the same Holy Spirit who spoke through all of us. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so the same Holy Spirit that's walking with me is walking with you. When I'm at work in Providence and you're at work in South County or wherever you work at, the same Holy Spirit is there with each and every one of us, helping us there when we need Him. Praise God.
Amen.
So you don't have to worry about the fact that, well, the Holy Spirit is hanging out with Pastor Troy today, so I guess I have to wait until it's my turn for Him to come around to me. No! The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Say omnipresent. That's a word I want you to learn. I don't try to teach you a whole bunch of theology, but I do want you to learn that word, because you got to understand that he's everywhere present. He can always be with you, and He's there at any time. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. See, there's no excuse for us to fall. If we understand this truth, there's no excuse for us to be destroyed. I mean, we can come up with all kinds of excuses, but there's no real good excuse. We need to understand this truth, and we need to live by it. You want a victorious Christian life? I know I do. What I got to do is understand that God is my helper when I'm going through problems, when I'm going through trials, when I'm being attacked. Hebrews chapter 2. Have you found it yet? Come on, class. I need some class participation. Have you found it yet?
Yeah.
All right. Thank God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Anybody have an NIV?
Yes.
Who has it? You have an NIV, Michelle? Why don't you read that? Read it real loud.
Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted.
He is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus is there to help you when you are being tempted. Say, God is my very present help. In time of trouble. That word temptation can mean temptation to sin. But it can also mean trials and tribulations, persecutions, afflictions, and adversity. He is there to help you when you're tempted to sin. He is there to help you when you're going through trials, tribulations, and problems. Praise God. He is there to help you. Because he suffered the same temptations you suffered. He's able to help you. Say, He's able to help me.
He's able to help
me. Oh my goodness, if this is true, then I don't know why we don't act like it. Why do we act like He can't help at all? Why do we act like He's not even willing to help at all? I like the analytical, literal translation. It says, "For He Himself, having been tempted in what He suffered, He is able to help the ones being tempted." If you're being tempted, he's able to help you, baby. He's your helper. Say he's my very present help.
He's my very present help.
He's my strengthener.
He's my strengthener.
He's my advocate.
He's my advocate.
He's my standby.
He's my standby.
He's there in case of emergency.
He's there in case of emergency.
He's there when there's no emergency.
He's there when there's no emergency.
He's there.
He's there.
He's walking with me.
He's walking with me.
He helps me.
He helps me.
He loves me.
He loves me.
He cares about me.
He cares about me.
Problems are not my friends.
Problems are not my friends.
They're my enemies.
They're my enemies.
I'm not to embrace them.
I'm not to embrace them.
I'm to stand against them.
I'm to stand against them.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You know, see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we are in a warfare. It says, in the evil day, you are to stand. What is the evil day? I say it's any day you are being attacked with evil. And many times, that's almost every day. Praise God. Look at, turn over to the fourth chapter of Hebrews. See, you know, like the last couple of weeks, I told you what you shouldn't do or what does not solve problems. But see, a good teacher is not going to just tell you what not to do. He's going to tell you what to do as well. Amen? See, if I just tell you what you shouldn't be doing, but never tell you how you can accomplish the victory that God wants for you to have, if I never tell you that, then I'm a lousy teacher. Because I've left you with nothing. I've left you with legalism. Well, I'm not supposed to do that, but I don't know what else to do. So that's the problem with many of our preachers who preach against sin. I mean, I've heard some wonderful, fiery sermons against sin, but now after you've told me to stop committing adultery, after you've told me to stop smacking my brother and beating him up and to forgive everybody that's done me wrong, how do I do that? Praise God. It used to frustrate me. Teach me what to do. Stop telling me what to stop doing and teach me how to stop it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. The only way I can get an amen out of y'all is to say amen myself. Praise Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Let me read this to you from the Amplified Bible. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation." Say the assaults of temptation.
Temptation
is not your friend. It's trying to assault you. It's trying to destroy you. It's trying to hurt you. "But one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning." Thank you, Jesus. "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help." Say grace to help.
Grace to help.
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 Hallelujah. "That you may find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." I don't know. Maybe this message is exciting me more than it's exciting y'all. But I'm so glad that I can go to God for help. Mm-hmm. But see, first you got to understand the truth. You got to understand that problems, trials, situations are not your enemies. They are simply an inevitable part of living here in this world. It's just, the Bible says, "In the world ye shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." See, if tribulation was your friend, Jesus wouldn't have had to overcome the source of it. Praise God.
Amen.
He knew that it was your enemy. The world is your enemy. Trials are your enemy. Persecutions are your enemy. Jesus has overcome them. Praise God.
Amen.
Now what he's done, he's invited you to the throne room. He has given you what I like to call throne room rights. Say throne room rights.
Throne room rights.
Oh, I get to go to the throne room anytime I feel like it, glory to God. And I can go boldly before the throne of grace and find grace
to help me. Say grace to help.
Grace to help.
Glory to God. That's grace to help is God's power, God's strength to lift you up and to help you, praise God. God, see, too many people preach what I call a greasy grace. They call it what they call the grace message. Oh, I can sin as much as I want to, and I'll still be saved. Now, I'm not getting into debates on eternal security, OSAS, once saved, always saved, all that foolishness. What I want you to understand, though, is that when I'm in, grace is not just meant for me to escape hell when I sin. Grace is there to help me to stop sinning, praise God.
Amen.
When I am going through temptation, I am to look to the throne of grace and get grace to help me, to give me the strength to stop sinning. I'm to look for God's grace whenever I'm going to through problems, whenever I'm going through trials, whenever my paycheck is not meeting my bills, whenever there's sickness in my body, whenever one of my kids is giving me some trouble, whenever I'm having problems on the job, whenever I can't understand something that I'm going through, whenever I'm in school and the kids are not treating me right, that my fellow students or whatever, anything that I'm going through, if I'm having problems with my wife, or if you're having problems with your husband, the Bible says that you go before the throne of grace. He's giving you throne room rights. Praise God.
Amen.
You have the right to go before God's throne boldly. Now remember, boldly, not arrogantly. You don't go before God's throne and say, God, speak. Speak, King. I need some help. Yeah. I'm serious. I listen to I like Christian rap music. I like some of the some of y'all contemporary young people's contemporary stuff. But I was listening to one rap song one time driving down to New Jersey, and this guy, he seemed so disrespectful to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the ghost. I'm talking to the ghost. Yeah, we're talking about the ghost. Yeah, G.
What?
I said, no. That's going too far right there. I love contemporary rap music and all that stuff, but G, you don't disrespect God. In the name of... See, that's becoming familiar. That's a spirit of familiarity, which is a sin. But when I go before God's throne with respect, when I go before God's throne and say, Father, you promised me your help in time of need. Lord, I need help right now. When I go before him with respect, and I go before him boldly, not scared that he's going to shoot me with some fire and kill me, because he's not going to do that. He loves you. Praise God. When I go before his throne and I can get the help I need, then I know that he's my very present help in trouble. Praise God. So once I go before God's throne of grace, ask him for the help, then whatever my circumstances may look like after that, I'm going to believe, and I got to confess God's word. I've got to continue to say, God is my refuge and my strength, my very present help in trouble. Say that with me. Say, God is my refuge.
God is my refuge.
And my strength.
And my strength.
My very present help.
My very present help.
In trouble.
In trouble.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Is my comforter.
Is my comforter.
My helper.
My helper.
My standby.
My standby.
My advocate.
My advocate.
One there.
One there.
In time of emergency.
In time of emergency.
Walking alongside me.
Walking alongside me.
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent.
A very present help.
A very present help.
I can go through the throne.
I can go through the throne.
The throne of grace.
The throne of grace.
Because I've been given.
Because I've been given.
Throne room rights.
Throne room rights.
I have a right.
I have the right.
To approach my daddy.
To approach my daddy.
And get grace.
And get grace.
To help me.
To help me.
In my time of need.
In my time of need.
No matter what problem I'm going through.
No matter what problem I'm going through.
I can get strength.
I can get strength.
I can get help.
I can get help.
I can get my needs met.
I can get my needs met.
I can deal with my problems.
I can deal with my problems.
I can overcome my problems.
I can overcome my problems.
I have overcome my problems.
I have overcome my problems.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue more with this message next week. I was hoping I could get through this today, but it's got a couple more pages to go.
and a couple more character assessments we want to look at. But take this home with you. Remember, no matter what problem you're facing, and we all got problems, one of the things we should do when we come to church, we should be learning how to overcome in this life. Praise God. One day you're going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus. You're going to be judging angels. This is right now, this is your training ground. All the problems that you're being faced with, when I was in the military, I had to go through what is called an obstacle course. I had to be trained on how to endure hardship as a good military person. I had to learn how to climb a mountain. I had to learn how to swim across wide rivers on a thin rope. I had to learn how to and to keep running even after that. See, if you stop to think, you'll lose your breath and you'll collapse. See, you had to learn not to even think about it. You had to just keep going and going and going until the end. And you know, sometimes you try to stop to help your friend. You know, one time we were going through the obstacle course, and there was a girl there who was having some issues. You know, she, I can't do it. I can't climb the rope. I kept trying to tell her, yes, you can. You can do it. A couple other people were around us. I can't do it. I can't do it. And we kept telling, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And you know, the drill instructor was hollering at all of us, dude, you know, you curse words. Get up on that mountain! Hurry up! Move it! You know, we're trying to encourage her, trying to help her. But sooner or later, that drill instructor is going to come over here, come over there and do something to us. So finally, after we kept trying to convince her she could do it, and she kept saying, I can't. I finally said, well, goodbye, and I climbed up on the mountain and went on my way. You see, I can help you if you will believe God with me, praise God. If you will confess the word of God, if you will stop saying, I can't do it, Pastor, I can't do it. If you can stop doing that and you can say, well, God's word says it's difficult, but I'm going to believe the word of God. If that woman would have said, I don't feel like I can do it, but I'm going to try. If she would have just tried, we might have been able to keep encouraging her. I could have stood there with her. I could have climbed up with her and went up slowly with her. And there was another time when we were at job, when we had to, when I was in the military, and we had to run a certain, every year we had to run a certain amount of miles or a mile and a half in order to pass our physical. And, you learn to get in shape early for that. But there's been times I've run with people and they feel like they're about to collapse. And I would say, come on, no, you can do it. And they would listen and we make that thing together, praise God. Mm-hmm. See, we can help one another if you're willing to believe what the Word of God says. If you believe it, if you're willing to believe that God is your very present help, then we can encourage one another. When you're going through, I can say, come on, we can do this together. We can make this thing together. We can overcome together. And you say, yes, Pastor, you're right. We can do it. Then we can do it, praise God. Amen. But if you sit there and say, I don't know, Pastor. I've tried this already. It don't seem to work. There's not much I can do for you. I can continue to try to teach you, try to encourage you, but sooner or later, you've got to grasp this. Amen? If we want to build a strong church, a strong ministry, we've got to grasp this principle of faith. We've got to stop allowing problems to overcome us, and we've got to be conquerors over our problems. See, if we don't do that, this church will fall apart. Because it can't be just the leaders. It's got to be all of us together. We got to stop. We can't have a problem focus. We got to have a God focus. When we have a God focus, when we're looking to God, the problems become smaller in God's sight. And because I'm looking at my problem the way God looks at it. You know what many of y'all do? You take a little bitty problem and you put a magnifying glass in front of the problem and you make it look bigger than it really is. When you begin to understand that God is your help, then you'll begin to understand how to overcome. And not only will you be able to encourage yourself, you'll be able to help others, praise God. And you will see growth in your life. You will see growth in this church, because then you won't be so much problem focused. You'll be more God focused. And when you're God focused, you're evangelistic focused. Amen? See, when I'm evangelistic focused, when I'm focusing on trying to win people to Christ, my problems become nothing. Because I know now, God, you can take care of that. I'm about doing your business. Praise God. Stand to your feet.